Towns here in Nova Scotia meeting with the provincial nurses. Judith Kaiga is a registered nurse from Australia who's here talking about their successful fight for nurse-to-patient ratios. It's a sticking point of contract talks with nurses here in the Capital Health District of Nova Scotia, where negotiations broke down last week. We'll talk with Judith in just a moment, but first, I think we've got Joan Jessam on the line. She is the president of the Nova Scotia Government Employees Union. Hi, Joan.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm very good.
Tell us a bit about the breakdown in talks. You're asking what, for a mediator, are you? Or?
Well, we were at the table for 8 days over the last several months, and last Wednesday, talks broke down with the employer, Capital Health. Well, we represent 2,600 RNs in our local 97. The employer has no interest in discussing the proposals we put forward on mandated nurse-patient ratios and the very serious issues around that and scheduling. So there was no reason to, no reason to sit and bargain with ourselves. So we broke down and we filed for conciliation. We're waiting for a conciliator to be appointed.
All right. Now, to explain what this nurse-patient ratio is.
So what we're looking for is a formula in the collective agreement that mandates in the areas of the hospital, whether it's units, ICUs, emergency, medical floors, surgical floors, that there will be a minimum mandated level of RNs on staff to manage the patient care for those areas. And that's all that, and if it dips below the minimum, the employer can be held accountable for, rather than playing the shell game with the nurses, moving them all over the place and always leaving floors short. And there's consequences to patient care and patient outcomes, the whole bit. So that's the mandated patient-staff ratio. It's what we say, it's safety in numbers. If there's patient safety, if we have the adequate number of staffing. I bet you any Nova Scotian, certainly anybody in the HRM, can give experiences of being in the health system and knowing that there's not enough nurses to do the care.
That was my next question. Obviously, this effort is aimed at increasing the staffing levels, and that's got to be an issue again at hospitals around the province.
It is, but this is Capital Health is a tertiary referral center, and there's certainly some of the areas that are done at Capital Health are done in many of the hospitals around the province, but there's also levels of care Capital Health has not done anywhere else in the Atlantic region. It's a number one issue at the table, and having it mandated is the key, and we are sticking point and the point that we'll be fighting on, because if it's not mandated, then nobody's held accountable. There's no way to dispute it, and we're back to what's happening now, and what's happening now is not acceptable. The amount of overtime, nurses are getting sick, they're stretched and stressed, and the healthcare system is in crisis. This is a way to level it out, and Rick, you'll hear the public, and you'll hear the government, and you'll hear the employers saying we can't afford it. But we can afford readmissions, we can afford lengthy stays because things are being missed, we can afford enormous amount of dollars in overtime and sick leave because the nurses are getting injured and getting sick. If we can afford all that, then we need to transfer that money into better patient care, which is mandated patient-staff ratios. And we have Judith Kaiga in here from Australia, who has been instrumental right across the world involved in this. And we've brought her to Nova Scotia to talk to our nurses so that they get a clear understanding of it. It's not rocket science. It just says, we don't trust that you're going to have a committee and we're going to be able to talk about this after the fact. Put the safe level of staffing in today, and our nurses can go to work and say, I know that when I go to work today, I'm going to have the safe number of staff nurses to make sure that patients get the optimal care that they deserve.
And before I talk to Judith Kaiga, I want to ask you, have you made a determination or your best guesstimate is how many more nurses would have to be hired to do this nurse-patient ratio adequately?
We haven't done the numbers, but we're saying it's probably, I would think maybe 100 or a couple of hundred over time. But the thing about this, Rick, is the employer hasn't even engaged in any discussion with us on what we've proposed. So they don't even know, does it all have to be done up front? Can it be phased in? So we look at different units. We haven't had none of that discussion because they tabled a committee without a dispute mechanism. We told them absolutely no way are we going there. The other issue that's number one, neck and neck, and it's not wages. It's their quality of life because they need to be able to deliver the care they're trained to deliver. And they can't do it with the level of staffing that's there now.
All right. Let's bring Judith Kaiga onto the line with us, if you don't mind. Joan,
sure,
thank you very much. Joan Justin, the president of the NSGEU. Judith Kada is, again, a registered nurse from Australia and has been involved in their successful fight for nurse-to-patient ratios. Judith, good morning to you.
Hi, how are you?
Well, how are you doing?
Yes.
Welcome to Nova Scotia.
Thank you.
Yeah. Have you ever been here before?
Yes, I have, actually. I've been here a couple of times before. This is my third visit.
Okay. Have you been here in winter before?
No. And I think you're going to deliver me one of those days tomorrow, I'm told.
Yeah, it's called a nor'easter, and it's going to be lots of snow and strong winds. It's just going to be a miserable day. How much of an effort was it to bring nurse-patient ratios into being in Australia?
It was a tough fight because no government or management want to be told how to manage their staff. That's just a big no-no in their book. But our sister state, Victoria, they had a big fight back in the early 2000s, and they secured minimum mandated ratios back in 2000. And quite frankly, nurses came back to work in droves, and some of those people were migrants from New South Wales, because our members wanted to go down and work where the working conditions were a lot better. And that kind of pushed us into the ratio fight. We tried lots of other things. I mean, nurses around the world for decades have been trying to regulate workloads so that the patients get the safest care possible. And so in 2010, we mounted a big campaign, which did involve a strike, and we were able to secure mandated nurse-to-patient ratios right across New South Wales hospitals based on nursing hours per patient day, and the big tertiary referral hospitals ended up with a ratio of 1 to 4 in the morning, 1 to 4 in the afternoon, and 1 to 7 on night shift. And the difference that has made to the nursing environment where those ratios exist, we didn't get our whole, we put in a huge proposal right across the health service and we didn't get everything, and so we're in a current campaign to get those extras. But the difference that those ratios have made in the big tertiary referral hospitals is it's like night and day. Basically they've gone from chaotic units to calm units. The patients are able to receive not just the essential care they need for their condition that they've been admitted for, but nurses have time to kind of educate them around that condition, so that when they leave hospital, there's less likely chance of them returning because they weren't completely fixed the first time. So it's been an amazing change, and quite frankly, I'm very passionate about the introduction of minimum mandated staffing. And Joan's right, I do travel the world telling our story.
But I guess the main concern here would be the cost factor. We're not a rich province. We're already spending a good chunk of our provincial budget on health care. How much of an extra cost would this be, and is it affordable?
There's no doubt about it. There is an upfront cost. You know, we're not going to shy away from that. But the savings on overtime that's being done at the moment, I mean, the overtime bill, I'm not sure what yours is here, but ours at home was just astronomical. And there's plenty of research around now that really substantiates that the increased number, particularly of RN hours, but not just RN hours, numbers generally of nursing hours, does lessen the length of stay in hospital. When you look at what it costs for a patient who's had pneumonia or a joint replacement or something like that, when you look at the cost of the normal length of stay, and then the research tells you that cost can be reduced, sometimes, you know, as high as 10, 20, 30%, then surely, you know, governments are being short-sighted by just looking at the cost of implementing as opposed to the savings that can be made by, investing in the health system By raising the number of nursing hours.
Well, it's an interesting proposition, and as you know, it's the stumbling block right now in these negotiations. What's your advice to the union here as they break off talks and wait for the next phase of these sessions?
You see, the reality is that the stories we hear from the nurses on the floor are exactly the same as what I heard at home. You know, how can somebody working inordinate amounts of overtime be practicing safely? You, as Nova Scotians, going into hospital expecting the highest level of care, which you absolutely deserve, how can that occur when you've got people working incredible amounts of overtime? They're not able to take their leave because of scheduling issues. It just, one day it's going to come undone, and just you want to hope that it doesn't come undone on you or one of your loved ones. The thing is that governments are very keen to trumpet their good quality healthcare systems, but really, are they quality healthcare systems? And the research says that the nursing hours, if they were increased, would significantly make the care better. And the thing is, though, it has to be mandated. Nurses have been rostered to work all over the world forever and a day, and it's just at the whim of management, usually based on budget restraints. And honestly, that is not in the patient's best interest. And nurses are trained to give a certain level of care, and it's not only frustrating to them, it actually impacts on their own health when they know that they can't deliver that care safely. And the stories I'm hearing from here are no different from what I heard at home. And the stories I'm now hearing from home are that nurses are able to look after patients the way they were educated to do so, and that is a benefit for their own health. So all around, I think it's a good thing. I would be saying to the nurses of Nova Scotia, don't give up. And to the government who says they can't afford this, the answer to them is you can't afford not to.
Judith, thank you for your time here. Enjoy your stay, storm or not. I hope you enjoy your stay here.
Thank you very much.